privilege, the honor, and the wonderful opportunity to receive from your word. Thank you, Father God, for a word that will be not only informational, but inspirational and impactful and transformational to our hearts and to our lives. We welcome your word and we receive your word, not as a word from a man, but a word from God, as it is in truth. Thank you, Father God, for the impartation and instruction that will transform our lives for the better. We honor your word this morning, and we honor the Holy Spirit who will unveil and unfold the word to us. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart that's open and receptive and willing to do your word. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the confirming your word with signs and wonders following. In Jesus' most precious name. And everybody said, amen, 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 amen. God bless you. All right. Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Peter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. We're going to be talking and continuing in our theme and emphasis during these 2 months, November, the power of thanksgiving, praise, and worship. The power of thanksgiving, praise, and worship. And today we're going to subtitle the relationship of praise and worship. The relationship of praise and worship. So in 1 Peter 2, verse 9, it says, but you are a chosen generation. Everybody say, that's me. A royal priesthood. Everybody say, that's me. A holy nation. Everybody say, that's us. His own special people. Everybody say, that's us again. That you may proclaim the praises. I mean, you know, the proclamations you need to make is praises of him, about him, who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, in the New Living Translation, says, let us offer through Jesus a continual, everybody say continual. A continual sacrifice of praise to God, proclaiming, there it is again, our allegiance to his name. And just as a brief review, what is praise? We basically simply categorized it into three different big components. There's a lot more components to it, but just to keep it simple, we gave you three components. Number one, praise includes commending. Everybody say commending. Number two, expressing. Everybody say expressing. Expressing what? Approval of or favorable judgment of. Expressing approval or a favorable judgment of. And then number three, glorifying. Everybody say glorifying. So it's a commending, expressing approval of or favorable judgment of. And then glorifying, especially by crediting with perfections. So praise by commendation applies the promises of God to your personal circumstances or situation. It applies the promises of God to your personal circumstances or situation. So you praise God because of who he is. The person of God, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, but also the promises that he's provided and promised for you and me. And then, of course, praise by approving is turning our thoughts toward God and remembering how he's won our acclaim and our adoration. Our acclaim and our adoration. It is reciting the wonder of who he is and how he has made a difference in our life, in the lives of others. So there's always something to praise God about for who he is and the wonder of who he is, how he's made a difference, how he's made your day, how he's made a difference in the life of other people around you. And then praising God by glorifying is simply recognizing and testifying to all these admirable qualities of God. As we honor God for all who he is and all he has done in ours, we make room for him. We make room for him to work for us and in us on a regular, daily basis. there's praise due to him. And if you want to make room for God to enter into your life and work through your life on a daily, then you praise him. When are we to praise God? Well, we talked about this last week. Psalms 34, 1 through 3. It says, I will bless the Lord at how many times? At how many times? At all times. Does that mean good times? Does that mean include bad times? It includes bad times. You bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be where? Now, do an inventory of your last week. How often was praise coming through from your heart, through your lips to the Lord? He said, I will bless the Lord at how many times? At all times. So it's a decision of the will. It's not a response of the emotion. It's a decision. So that means you might not be feeling the best at the moment. Things might not be going the best at that moment. But you still choose to what? Bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My life makes its boast where? In the Lord. Don't brag about what the devil's doing. Don't boast about what bad things are happening. We are supposed to be bragging and boasting on what the Lord's doing, what the Lord has done, what the Lord promised he will do. My soul shall make its boast, where? In the Lord. Let the humble and the afflicted hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. So you can see it starts with the will, a decided choice to praise. And then it flows to the emotion where you want to do it. And then it goes to others. So you can say it this way, praise is contagious. So I know during the two plus years we've had different pandemic issues, people were afraid to be contagious. But when you praise, don't be afraid to be contagious. Come on, just lift your hands and begin to thank God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I bless you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I honor you, Lord. Magnify you, Lord. Glory to your holy name. Hallelujah. So praise, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, is to be a part of your everyday life. Now think back to yesterday. A lot of times people are busy on the weekends. How much did you praise God? How much was praise a part of your everyday life? See, no matter what may be happening to you or me, we have either low moments or high moments. Our focus is to stay on God. That's why we bless the Lord at how many times? All times. In the morning, you know, I got up, you know, our grandson was there and he's sleeping. I get up and cook his breakfast and cooking breakfast, praise him. Good time to praise the Lord. So I'm praising the Lord in my kitchen while I'm cooking bacon. Now don't get mad about my bacon, okay? I'm cooking bacon, cooking eggs, and praising the Lord. God in the kitchen with me. And it's good when God gets in the kitchen with you. Because the Bible says he inhabits the praises of his people. Amen. And so he began to inhabit that kitchen. I was like, whoo, God's here. God's manifesting in here. And so you start dancing, start shouting, start rejoicing in the kitchen. The bacon's popping, but I'm hopping. Hallelujah. So we're not to wait until church. Wait till the lights, cameras, and action comes on and the songs come on. At Sunday or Wednesday, we're not to wait until then. Amen. Before you praise God. You come to the worship service with praise and thanksgiving already in our hearts. We make a faith effort not just to come to church with our bad feelings or our frustrations and wait for somebody else to make us feel better. Everybody say hallelujah. So how do we praise God? We praise is how we make room for God in our life. Corporate praise is how we make room for God in the church and in the church service. So there's no such thing as hidden praise. Now, we can choose to be praise misers. That means we withhold praise. But we encourage you to become praiseaholics. In the car, it's a 30-minute drive or a 20-minute drive, spend some time praising the Lord. You know, also prayer, too, is good. But you need to be using your mouth to give God thanks, give God praise, give God worship. Don't just listen to music. Become the music from your heart through your lips. Amen. So praise requires a heartfelt faith effort on our part. So let me give you some examples. Singing. Everybody say singing. Singing, Psalms 30 verse 4, it says, sing to the Lord. Now just pause for there. Now I know sometimes when we were younger, we probably sung songs to others. A lot of times we're in church, we sing songs about the Lord. Or maybe rejoicing over what the Lord has done. But here it says, sing to the Lord. Sing it to the Lord. Sing to the Lord. You know, our Father likes singing. Did you, we're almost done with Revelations if you're in our devotional Bible reading on every day, so through the YouVersion Bible app. And in Revelations, did you notice how many worship and singing is going on in Revelations? If you don't like singing, you're going to have to get tuned up and caught up when you get to heaven, because there's a lot of singing going on. Singing. It's almost like a progression. You start saying, then you end up singing. Sing to the Lord, all you godly ones. That includes us. Praise his holy name. Here's another example. Shouting. Psalms 34. Shout joyfully to the Lord. When I'm cooking that bacon, and you know I like it crispy. We get it crispy there. Not burnt, but crispy. So I'm cooking the bacon, and all of a sudden, you know, God begins to manifest in the kitchen, and I go, woo! Glory to God. You know, remember that whole cleaning room chemical? They called it shout. And they said, if you want tough stains out, shout it out. So God gave us a little bit of, you know, that was kind of after God already instituted the command to shout. Think about Jericho for a moment. When they wanted tough walls to come down, what did they do? They shouted after just walking around. Walking for 7 days, and the seventh day they walked seven times, didn't say one word, but they got the command. Joshua said, shout, for God has given you. So I went, woo! Hallelujah. Now, you see shouting at baseball games and basketball games and football games. They about to come on in less than an hour. Some folks going to be shouting. But is the football going to get your best shout? Is the basketball going to get your best shout? Don't ever let the devil take your shout, because you won't be able to get tough things or tough problems out. I remember one person called the pioneer or general of faith, Smith Wigglesworth, he said they'd have people would be giants in the faith. Smith Wigglesworth was his name. He said, but they have no shout. They have no shout of faith. there's sometimes in your category of praise through your walk of faith in life that you're going to have to shout to get that problem out. He said, shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth, break forth in song, rejoice and sing praises. That's a combo package. And so in the morning, yeah, I was jumping around, and I was like doing exercise in the kitchen. Because I was jumping and, whoo, glory to God, hallelujah. Break forth. You got to break out sometimes. Third example, how we're to praise God, make a joyful noise. Make a joyful noise. Listen, put in parentheses so it can be heard. Psalm 66, verse 8. Oh, bless our God, you peoples, and make the voice of his praise to be what? Heard. You know, when Paul and Silas at midnight were beaten and put in those stocks in Acts chapter 16 in that Philippian jail? And as I understand it, they were in a really holding place. They were in a deeper part of a prison system. They had been beaten, embarrassed, stripped, bleeding, perhaps sore, perhaps. They were put in stocks, so they were put in chains where they couldn't hardly move, but they didn't tape their mouth shut. And the Bible says they prayed at midnight and sang praises. But it didn't say the prisoners overheard them. It said they heard them. They heard them. Praise God. So who's heard you make a joyful noise? Make a joyful noise. Come on, lift your hands and make a little bit of noise. Make a little bit of noise. Make a little bit of joyful noise to the Lord. Bless their God. Hallelujah. Make the voice of his praise be heard. Let heaven hear your voice. We lift up our voice to you, dear Father God. We bless your name. We magnify your name. We glorify your name. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Here's another one. Thanksgiving. Everybody say Thanksgiving. Psalms 100, verse 4. Enter into his gates with what? So we say, what's the password into his presence? Thank you, Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is what? For he's good. Your situation may not be good, but he is good. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Some people, you know how it is. You know, my phone shut down this week, and I was like, oh, Lord. How do I get this thing on? And it went at a shock that they told me. So I went to the store, and I got it reset and booted, got it back. And I said, thank you, Lord. Anybody ever lost a password to their computer or an app? What's the password? Where did I write it down? Now, I'm giving you the password. It's real simple. Thank you, Lord. Anytime during the day, things seem to be really tough, troubling, tense. Everybody say it with me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, enter into his courts with what? Praise. Give thanks to him. You know those commercials that have come on where they're kind of emulating the football review where they throw the little red flag down. The coach just has a red flag and those, let's look at the review. So if we did that, let's look at the review yesterday and see how many times you gave God thanks. See, it's not something he takes from you, is something you give to him. So we give, sometimes, as we said in Hebrews 13, 15, we give the sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of our lips. That means our lips got to be moving. So there's no silent thanks. There's no mental telepathy saying, I appreciate you, God, but you're not saying anything. I thank you, God. No, you're giving. You're verbalizing. You're vocalizing. You're expressing what? Through your lips. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Everybody say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. So give him thanks and praise his name. That doesn't seem like cloudy, confusing directions, does it? No, it says give thanks to him. Good times, bad times, hard times, fun times, give thanks to him and praise his name. See, God's presence in your day, and I use the silly story of me cooking bacon in my kitchen and cooking eggs and enjoying to be a blessing by cooking breakfast at home with the family. God's presence in your day is quite important. Let me say it one more time. God's presence in your day is quite important to have with you and throughout your day. Now, God's not willing to take a vacation from manifesting himself in and around you, but sometimes our lack of praise and worship to him is almost unwelcoming for him to move and manifest. Because God's presence in your day is quite important to have you throughout the day. Now, many of you know what I do on the other side. And when I go into a home or go into a meeting, I say, God, I can't go in there unless you're with me. I need him with me in the car, particularly around the roads that are very congested sometimes and traffic's pretty tough. Roads are pretty hazardous in some spots as we drive around this great county of Bear and the city of San Antonio. You need God with you.
Amen.
It's quite important. You go into the grocery store, you need God with you. Now, he is literally, but you want him to be manifested with his presence and power in that particular context. All right, so praise invites God to make your day. So Psalms 118, verse 24, this is the day. Everybody say it with me. This is the day, that the Lord has made. Well, that's reason enough to rejoice. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Now, this says you won't. Now, you get to make a decision. I won't. And you got to make it. You can make a decision not to be glad. But it tells us instruction. We will rejoice and be glad in it. So in essence, no matter what is going on in your life, if you will invite God into your day through praise, he will fill your life with himself. In other words, make my day. Now, we sometimes hear that phrase as a flippant or sometimes arrogant, condescending, or sarcastic comment. Come on, make my day. You know, we bow up and buck up, you know. But it's more than just a cute saying or a clapback saying. It becomes a reality as God takes the threads of your life and weaves his tapestry into it. You're saying, I praise you, God. I praise you, Lord Jesus. I bless your name. I exalt you. I extol you. I esteem you. You're basically saying, you're welcome. Come on in. Come on into my life. Move, manifest, and make my day. Y'all see that? And so you invite him to take your life and weave his tapestry into it. Amen. Isn't that good? And so praise also invites God to do things, good things for you. Praise enables and permits the Lord to go to work on your behalf. It has been said that praise is the highest expression of faith. So faith rejoices. Faith gives thanks. Faith is glad. Well, those are praise type activities. Faith rejoices. Faith gives thanks. Faith is glad. So that means no matter how sad things are, faith expresses these other things that are of God and about God. Amen. Why does God do this? Because he loves us as his father and as his children. He loves us. He loves us. Everybody says, thank you, Lord, for loving us so much. And so he wants to even show us even greater how we than we imagine of him being capable of doing great and mighty things throughout our day and throughout our week. Now, as we draw this to a close here, let me talk to you a little bit about the relationship of praise and worship. Now, let me define through Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary what worship is, just to give you some framework to work with. This is not the complete definition, but, you know, just a definition to kind of give you something to think about. Worship means to respect, to honor, to treat with civil reverence. Number two, to honor with extravagant love and extreme submission. To honor with extravagant love and extreme submission. Number three, to perform acts of adoration. And number four, to perform religious service. So that gives us a little bit of context or framework about worship. Now think about this for a moment. Worship is just not limited to the slow songs we sing together. So the relationship with praise and worship, I'm going to give you a couple of verses here. It says in Psalms 118, verse 21, I will praise you, for you have answered me and have become my salvation. Psalms 119, 171, the scriptures will be up on the screen. My lips will utter praise, for you teach me your statutes. Psalms 138, verse 2, I will worship towards your holy temple. And praise your name. See how they're connected? For your loving kindness and your truth, for you have magnified your word above all your name. So think of it this way. This is not the only way, but I just want to give you a thought and an idea. Praise is seeking God. Worship is being found by God. Worship is important to God. Jesus talked about worship in John chapter 4, verse 20 through 24. Our fathers worshiped in the mountains, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where you ought to worship. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain and nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you don't know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. At that time it was. And then, but the hour is coming, it's already passed, and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So you worship him, you must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, John 9:31, it says another thing to us. It says, now we know that God does not hear sinners. Jesus was talking. But he said, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. So we can see four simple things, but profound things in these two verses or two texts of scripture. First, true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. He said, you will worship. So it's not something sometimes we come up with our own concoction, but the instructions has been laid out for true worship and worship that's in spirit and in truth. Now, number two, Heavenly Father is seeking true worshipers to worship him. So God's not just sitting around waiting for somebody. He's seeking people that will worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, may all of us be candidates for God's seeking. Number three, those who worship God must worship in spirit and in truth. And then number four, God hears anyone who worships him and does his will. Because one of the definitions of worship, as we defined it from Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary, it says to perform religious service and to perform acts of, to honor with extravagant love and extreme submission. That means, Lord, not my will, yours. Lord, I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll say what you want me to say. I'm yours to command and control each and every day. Jesus is Lord. Amen. When you say Jesus is Lord, you're performing an act of extravagant love and extreme submission. When you say, Jesus, you're the master. You're the owner of my life. He's worthy of what? It's all, what we just sung this morning. He's worthy of it all. You're worthy of my time, my talent, my treasure, my testimony. Come on now. You're worthy of my days, of my seasons, of my moments in my life. When you say Jesus is Lord, you're saying Jesus has absolute mastery over death in all its phases, over sin and all its consequences, over Satan and all his works, over hell and all its hosts. Jesus is Lord. That means Jesus is owner, master, ruler, controller. I worship you, Lord. I worship you, Lord. Come on, lift your hands and say, I worship you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. See, our Father God wants to bless us, ladies and gentlemen. All he wants us to do is to worship him for who he is and praise him for what he's done and what he's doing in our lives. Worship and praise are like twins. Now listen to me. This is going to sound a little bit tough, but if you have a lot of people around you to worship God and praise God, your relationship with God is a little sick. Amen. You ought to be able to go in your bathroom, your bedroom, your kitchen, cooking bacon, in your car, and praise God and worship God. Amen. So we must make worship and praise a way of living. Worship and praise should be a way. So praise is like building our house, and worship is like God moving into that house. So I'm building a framework. I'm opening the door for God to come. He comes in. That's worship. I'm trying to make it simple. I mean, I know it's not that technical, but just to simplify it for you. They're like twins. But if you have to have a lot of people around you, if you need your jam on, my song, that's my song. Oh, and then I get in the spirit. That's a little, you need some work there. See, God, our Father, responds to people who have a deep hunger for him. You know, David said in Psalms 42:1-2, as the deer pants for the water brook, so pants my soul for you, O God. You can't take our Father God and the Lord Jesus, or we shouldn't. We shouldn't take them for granted. You wake up in the morning. Good morning, Lord. Good morning, Father. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Begin to worship. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and to his courts with praise. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? So, simply put, worship is the climax of praise. Worship is what praise is all about. Then we should follow daily instruction to seek God until his grace. He graces us with his manifested presence, because the Bible says he inhabits the praises of his people. Now, let me just say this one excerpt before I conclude this morning. So another possibility that it's our, you know, that comes into a hindrance in one sense is self-centeredness, competing loyalties within us, prevent us, from giving full allegiance to anyone, including God. Now, we've said it before. If the devil can't make you bad, he makes you busy. And so, sometimes, you know, other things in life suffer because our prayer life suffer. But in today's context, our praise life suffers. Because we become praise misers. Or we don't give him praise or worship due to his name. And so we got a little bit of praise and worship debt, indebtedness. I'm just making it simple so you can see what I'm talking about. You got a little bit of praise and worship debtedness because you've gone 2 or 3 days without really spending time in prayer or praising God. You know, one of the things that we can practically do right now is start praising and thanking God over 2023. As the Lord tears is coming, God has what? He said, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Plans for good and not for evil. Come on now. We ought to be praising God. Thank you for the good plans. The good purposes that you have ahead of me in 2023. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you're working all things together for my good and for your glory in 2023. Amen. But our self-centeredness and competing loyalties prevent us from giving our full allegiance to anyone, including God. So we don't praise with abandon. We don't give worship we worship with limitation, reservation, and hesitation. He wants us worshiping him in spirit and in truth. Amen. And then we cannot seek him with all of our heart because there are too many closed doors in us that bar God from coming in and manifesting. See, walking in God's ways and obeying him in all things is a privilege, not a hindrance. And we always encourage people, don't do devotions dutifully, but do it with devotion and delight. Lord, I love your word. I love to read your word. I love to feed on your word. And I thank you for your faithfulness to your word. Thank you and praise you for the honor. You know, Pastor Gary and Sister Ghani can tell you, there's some countries they can't have a Bible. They may have one page. They may have one. They may not even have a brick and mortar Bible or a device that has an app. So it's not a hindrance. It's a privilege that we have every morning to thank him for his word, praise him for his word, honor him for who he is. Glorify him and lift up his holy name. Amen. So sometimes we treat God as such, like it's a hindrance. Oh, I got a contract. What does it say? David say, I was glad when they said to me, let's go to church. It automatically, faith perked up. We're going to church. Don't be mad about it. Don't come in with sad, bad, and moody about it. You come in glad. Oh, thank you, Lord. That they get to go to church. You just heard the testimony. Some people can't even meet 2 or 3 in the house. We ought to be thankful. Hallelujah. See, when things become a little difficult, we are quick to assume that something that coming to church and giving God our full attention is an imposition rather than a blessing. And sometimes that's very wrong. Matter of fact, all the time is very wrong. I have to be here. we get to be here. What did he say? Well, there's two or three gathered together in my name. There am I. We get to commune with Jesus. Woo, we get to praise Jesus. We get to magnify Jesus. Glory to God. See, once he's present, everybody and everything else is dismissed. I'll say that again as we close. Once he's present, everybody and everything else is dismissed. Come on, stand to your feet, please. Thank you, Lord. Lift up your hands and magnify God. Begin to thank the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.